who's and what's and whys and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition as of February 2nd, 2024.
All right. So happy to be here.
We're back in our studio, Ken.
That's right. Our posh studio with a giant spread of a buffet right here. This is wonderful.
Yeah, last time we recorded our current events, we were at Disneyland, and now we're back.
Yes, we had to have just a ring of security guards around us, preventing the mobs from swarming us as we were trying to record.
We really did. Well, Ken and I are both former Disneyland Custodial cast members, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast, hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We are also the authors of two books, both titled Cleaning the Kingdom, and you can get signed copies of the second book only on our website, thesweepspot.com. You can get the first book and the second on Amazon, but they're not signed. And you can also get them in digital form on Kindle and wherever those are found, and also on audio. You can get the audiobooks where those are found, Audible and all that. We also have a Patreon where if you'd like to help support the show, we'd really appreciate it. It really helps us out. And you get a couple cool rewards by doing that once a month. You get a bonus episode delivered to you that we record specifically for the Patreons. It's about 20, 30 minutes long, and you get that once a month. And then also once a month, we do a current events live edition where we incorporate your comments as we're recording it. And we'll try to incorporate the comments into our discussion as we talk our current events. And it's a lot of fun. And sometimes the Patreons have their own conversation going on, which is neat because they're all just fans of Disneyland. So but I did want to mention we do have, oh, and to do that, you go to our website, thesweepspot.com, and look for the Patreon link, or go to Patreon, that's Patreon.com, and search The Sweep Spot, and you can sign up. And that's just for $5 or more per month, you get all those cool perks. We do have some people that give a dollar, and that's totally fine. You don't get those perks, but we will mention your name on the show. And thank
every
you.
Every little bit helps.
Yes.
Every little bit helps a lot. So thank you.
We did want to thank a new Patreon, Stephanie Sanchez.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So with that, I think we just need to get right into it. But before we do that, we're going to hear from Eric over at Concierge with the D180.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start this week in Walt Disney World, where prices are falling at an alarming rate. Disney announced this week that they're heavily discounting many of their hotel stays, most nights from March 25th through June 29th. I'll start with the biggest discount at the Boardwalk Inn. Resort View rooms are going for $419 a night. For context, this discount is well over 30% off a normal night's stay. The Boardwalk is one of my favorite resorts at Walt Disney World. It's within walking distance of both Epcot and Hollywood Studios. There's Skyliner access close by if you don't feel like walking. There's boat access nearby if you also don't feel like walking. Seriously, it's one of the best resorts around. But why the discount? Boardwalk is going through some renovations at this time, and so their super cool lobby is getting its upgrade during this time period, so you'll have to deal with some dust. Still, it's super worth it. If you're going to Walt Disney World this spring, check out the deals. Not to be outdone, the Caribbean Beach Resort is discounting standard view rooms over 40% during the same time period. This place is relaxing and secluded, but it also has the advantage of Skyliner access to two parks. Rooms at $229 per night makes this one of the best deals around. Again, it's because some areas are under construction and one of the six pools at the resort is closed. There are still five more, people, and it's 40% off of the normal price. All right, you get the point. Many other resort hotels also have deals going on from March through June. Ask one of our planners to lay out your options. And now it's time to pop on over to Rome for a bit. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. The Disney Dream is going to spend the summer roaming about the Mediterranean. It used to be said that all roads lead to Rome. This summer, you can fly there and then depart there via Disney Cruise Line to ports all around the region. Sailings on the Dream are 7 to 11 nights per cruise. The longest trips visit 9 different destinations around the area. Italy, Greece, Turkey, Malta, Spain. Soak up the sun on multiple beaches. Soak up the classic culture of the Mediterranean as you visit centuries-old mansions. Soak up the finest cuisine around in the parts of the world that basically invented fine cuisine. There's a lot of soaking to do here, people. If you have time, 11 days popping around the south of Europe seems like a pretty good way to spend it. As always, you can find plenty to do on the Disney Dream itself. Shows, fireworks, movies by the pool, clubs for kids of all ages, 3 different pools. 11 nights mean you can try pretty much everything that this classic Disney Cruise Line ship has to offer. Give us a call today and we'll give you the skinny on the Dream's next port of call. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. By booking with me this year, you will receive 3 months free of our Patreon perk, like our bonus episodes, and join in on our current events live. So contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, there's a few things. Okay. I think the biggest news of the last cycle is the grand debut of the Pixar Place Hotel. You know, the hotel of a different color. I mean, this hotel has had so many lives. It might as well be a cat. But yeah, so... what we have here is a story from Brittany McDonald in the Orange County Register. Mm-hmm. Disneyland's Pixar Place Hotel is like walking into an animator's studio. I don't know what that means. I, you know, I, you walk in and there's this giant pink slip. It says, clear out your desk. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, that probably hits a little too close to home for some people. I'm totally sorry. I like animators, and I don't like seeing them get laid off. But anyway, so Brady McDonald reports, he says, the new Pixar Place Hotel next door to Disneyland and California Adventure is designed to look like you've walked in onto the Pixar Animation Studios campus in Emeryville, with concept drawings, character maquettes, and final designs sprinkled throughout the hotel. Now, for those of you who don't know, it's not really a new hotel. It's a renovated hotel. It was built as the Emerald, I think, in the early 80s. Not owned by Disney. Disney didn't own the Disneyland Hotel back then, but eventually it changed to the Pan Pacific Hotel, and then Disney bought it, and it's been through a couple of more name changes since then. So anyway, the multi-million dollar transformation of the former Paradise Pier Hotel into the new Pixar Place Hotel debuted on Tuesday, January 30th, after 3 years in the making at the Disneyland Resort. From the outside, the hotel exterior suggests a vast white canvas trimmed with black pinstripes and accented with red, blue, and yellow pops of color. The front lobby of the hotel is intended to feel like a gallery of curated artwork and custom creations inspired by Pixar's famed studio in Northern California. The rear lobby takes visitors through the animated filmmaking process, from hand-drawn sketches to wireframe character designs. Red, yellow, and blue bursts of primary colors serve as bold accents at the front desk, in contrast to the muted colors of modern hotel designs. And it goes on the article to talk all about, you know, the different things in the hotel, how the Luxor Junior lamp is balancing atop the red-starred blue and yellow Luxo ball, and that's in this, that's a centerpiece of the hotel and in an atrium. So, you know, if you want to read all about that, you can go to that article. You can click through at thesweepspot.com. We will have links to all of it. They mentioned the Creators Club. They mentioned how the rooms are themed. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. Did you see any of the coverage, Lynn?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
They brought everyone out for that. Looks good.
And they have some live entertainment, as the article points out. They Bing Bong makes his first ever character appearance at any Disney theme park resort in the world, hanging out for photos near the rooftop pool. Now, Bing Bong, see, I'd like a hostess hotel with ding dongs, but anyway, Joe Gardner, the central character in Pixar's Soul, plays jazz songs from the animated movie on a piano under a staircase just off of the main hotel lobby. The rest of the lobby is filled out with the Great Maple Restaurant, the Sketchpad Cafe, Grab and Go Coffee House. I guess that's the Sketchpad Cafe. It's the Grab and Go. I didn't put the right emphasis there. And Store E Gift Shop, a play on the Wall-E Pixar film.
If you have to explain it, then maybe it wasn't a good idea. Store E Gift Shop, a play on
Yeah, Store E. Well, if you're not reading, if you're not looking at the wording yourself, you're listening to it. Yeah,
that's true.
They had to explain it in the news article. But the official Disney Parks blog actually bothered to cover, they seem to be missing a lot of stories lately, but they covered this, and Valerie Lee did it under the headline of Now Open Pixar Place Hotel Celebrates Pixar Stories at Disneyland Resort. And of course, their word is the official word, and they have quite the coverage with lots of pictures and lots of narrative about what's what. So I would imagine if you're a big Pixar fan, this will be the place to stay. And if you think about it, I mean, in 1995, when the original Toy Story movie came out, did you sit there and go, someday there's going to be a Pixar hotel in the middle of Anaheim.
No.
You know, it's just...
yeah, it's crazy.
It's amazing how things have played out over the years, but...
If you want to stay at this hotel, Ken, who do they contact if they want to stay?
Well, there's a guy who hangs out in a local park, and he can get you Disneyland. of course, they should, you know, go to you, Lynn, as we make very clear in our...
very clear.
In the course of the podcasts, you know, Lynn can get you... some reservations and explain it all to you because he keeps up on all those things. And Al Barron at concierge.com, as we've mentioned before earlier in the program.
It does look neat though. I think the rooms look good. It looks clean. They do have that new, it's been there for a couple of years now, that new entrance into California Adventure. It's like near the entrance of Grand Californian. And it drops you off over there by the, like, kind of by the Corndog Castle, you know?
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to go all the way through downtown Disney, go into the entrance, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make it as convenient for people as possible. Mm-hmm. Of course, Mice Chat covered it. They had Now Open say, hey, howdy, hey, to the Pixar Place Hotel. So, again, that link will be in our current events notes that'll be on our website, courtesy of our good friend Russell. But you know, this is why you need to bookmark thesweepspot.com. So,
for sure. All right. Well, moving on here to the next story. This is from the OC Register. It's Disneyland commits $1.9 billion for theme park expansion.
All right, I'm glad you did that right.
Yeah, Disneyland has committed to spend $1.9 billion over the next decade as part of a long-term planning proposal presented to the city of Anaheim that dangles possibly projects based on Wakanda, Zootopia, Frozen, and Coco. The details of the proposed Disneyland Forward Development Agreement between Disney and the city were released on Tuesday, January 23rd, during an Anaheim City Council workshop. The long-term planning proposal, covering the next four decades of Disneyland development, dangles possible projects based on Black Panther, Coco, Frozen, Zootopia, Tangled, Peter Pan, Toy Story, and Tron, as the types of lands and attractions Anaheim is missing out on under current city planning and zoning guidelines. Disneyland is committed to paying an additional $5 million in street and transportation improvements if the additional $600 million is not spent in the first 10 years.
Huh.
Which,
interesting. Yeah.
The Disneyland Forward proposal calls for Disney to pay $40 million for portions of Magic Way, Clementine Street, Gene Autry Way, and Hotel Way to clear the way for proposed theme park expansion. The plan also calls for Disney to build 17,000 space east side parking structure with direct connections from the Santa Ana I-5 freeway that would be larger than the combined Mickey and Friends and Pixar Pals parking structures.
Wow.
I know. That's huge. Up to 3 pedestrian bridges over Harbor Boulevard would connect the east side parking structure with the Disney theme parks while providing access to the hotels, shops, and restaurants along the busy street below. That's important to note. Catella Avenue on either side of Harbor Boulevard would be widened with improved intersections as part of the proposed project.
Yes. Wow. Well, I mean, as we've said before, the specifics can change a lot before things actually get built, and both in terms of what's going into the parks and what's done outside, you know, with the infrastructure and stuff. But Disney's trying to point out you know, allow us to manage our land the way we want. You know, we don't have to put a hotel room here. We could put a shop there and put the hotel room over there, or we could have mixed use. You know, let us do that. And as part of that, we're going to invest also in the surrounding infrastructure. They mentioned the streets. Those are called street vacations. It's not that doesn't mean they're sitting the street on a trip. vacations as in vacate.
Right.
Having experience with local government and public works and things like that, I'm familiar with that. But they, you know, Disney's point is, if the portions of these streets only, you know, if there's no other property owner involved in these streets, how about we take them over? And
it wouldn't be the first time, right, that they did that.
Yeah, right. And you know, they actually mentioned that in another story. But the the benefit to the city is the city doesn't have to take care of that street anymore. All the upkeep, all the maintenance would be on Disney. So, you know, there's a possible win-win. I mean, you drive down Disneyland Drive right now, and there's nobody, you know, the only property owner on either side of that is Disney.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what's the point of having this public? But then again, there's people who want the roads to stay public so that the city stays in control of the road and not Disney, you know. So, but I'll kind of get into that here. We're the Register had a story from Michael Slayton saying Disneyland pledges more than $100 million for Anaheim streets, parks, and affordable housing. And as it says here, Disneyland or Disney will commit to investing at least $1.9 billion, which we all recovered. But they're saying it will include, let's see here, $30 million for affordable housing, $8 million for parks, and money for nearby road improvements. It's part of the theme park's Disneyland Forward proposal to update the resort over the coming years. And there was something else I wanted to call attention to. Oh, of the $30 million, Disney proposed to give Anaheim officials for affordable housing. Half would be paid in the first year and the rest in 5 years. City officials said it would be the largest corporate contribution to Anaheim for affordable housing. Aaron Ryan, a spokesperson for the city, said the money would be used to help Anaheim compete for housing grants because it would have some of its own money to bring to the table. There's not a single project the money would be used for, but the city has several affordable housing developments in the pipeline, she said. Just a little background information. The state of California has mandated cities add more housing. And some of it affordable. So, of course, you know, I don't want to go into the economics of it all, but if you, you know, supply and demand, if you add housing, in theory, it will automatically make housing more affordable. But, you know, it's controversial in the sense that, you know, some cities are saying, well, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to, like, build apartment complexes in neighborhoods that have single family homes, or, you know,
right.
And I think, you know, California has many, many malls that, like malls in other parts of the country, are struggling. Anchor stores that have disappeared, you know, things like that. And it's like, my thinking, add housing to those malls, you know, add apartment buildings to those malls. And with a few more amenities, you could have a little walkable city. You know, heck, have them, see if you can get, you know what, if I was the city, I would say something you can do is have Imagineering help us do that, you know, add housing in a way that's not going to negatively impact the character of a neighborhood or something, you know, something like that. But anyway, I digress.
There's a lot of different views, and I'd be interested to be in one of these public meetings to hear what the locals have to say about.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things the locals are saying, for and against. So last year, the city opened Finnamore Place, a 102 unit affordable housing apartment complex in the resort district that cost $61 million, which was backed in part by money from Disney. Grace Ruiz Stepter, the city's housing director, told the council it costs about $550,000 to $600,000 a unit to build affordable housing. The initial $15 million from Disney could help fund two or three affordable housing projects, she said. The $8 million for parks, if the development agreement is approved as is, would be for the city to use at its discretion. That money could be used to fund a three-acre park with some amenities, according to the city, or up to five pocket parks within neighborhoods. So, Councilmember Natalie Rubicalva wants more from Disney in the agreement. She said $8 million is not a lot of money for parks, and put forward the idea of Disney funding a few million dollars worth of affordable housing a year in perpetuity. So how much can we get out of Disney? Disney also proposes to buy some streets from the city for $40 billion, which we were talking about earlier. If Disney doesn't invest more than the minimum $1.9 billion, at least $2.5 billion over 10 years, then the company would give the city an additional $5 million for street and transportation improvements. Doesn't sound like a lot, you know, $5 million. Councilmember Norma Campos-Kurtz said residents were concerned about Magic Way possibly being closed. Magic Way is between it's north of the Disneyland Hotel, and it's and on the other side of it is the parking structures. So, possibly being closed once Disney acquired it, as they used it to avoid traffic in the area. So she's saying, hey, we'd like to keep that open so people can, you know, if there's traffic, they can go down this street instead. Let's see, Anaheim Public Works Director Ruby Amami told the council that work will begin this summer to improve traffic flow at the intersection of Ball Road and Walnut Street near Magic Way. The city would no longer have to pay to maintain the streets, Lister said, adding that it's too early to say if they would serve a purpose other than getting cars to parking spaces that streets serve. So anyway,
wow, it's a lot of logistics to it.
Yeah, I mean, we could actually do a whole thing about that if we wanted to, but I really think, now that I think about it, and I mentioned it just a few moments ago, by the way, up to $10 million to expand a sewer line along Catella Avenue near the parks would be paid for by Disney. That's a lot. I mean, don't give me any crap about that, okay? Oh, never mind. But now that I think about it, imagine if Disney came to Anaheim and said, hey, how about, you know, we kind of help things out. I mean, imagine if things in your city, around your city, were partially designed by Imagineering.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't that be great? In theory. I mean, you know.
there's been a lot of talk about cast members not getting, you know, the wages, and, you know, they could barely live. What if there was some sort of housing for cast members that was nearby? That would solve some of the, maybe possibly some of the traffic. Because you have a lot of that traffic is probably cast members coming in from surrounding areas.
Right. Well, company housing.
Right.
You might want to say, well, let Disney subsidize it or pay for it.
Right.
That's what I mean. Keep it, but don't let them manage it.
No. Yeah. I mean, they could build it as part of a, because it would be,
Yeah.
I think it could go under like affordable housing, but it wouldn't be public housing. But yeah.
Yeah, there's the argument, you know, should they do that or should they just pay cast members more, you know, and so the cast members take that money and figure out, you know, how to live closer to where they're working. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of different things back and forth as far as that goes. And Mice Chat has the Disneyland Forward updates. The future takes another step forward from Dusty Sage. And Laughing Place has an event recap from Mike Celestino. Mm-hmm. It's event recap attending another interesting Disneyland Forward public workshop at Anaheim City Hall. And he says in here, what struck me the most about this second workshop was how similar it was to the first, though there were a couple of key differences. The first one I noticed was that the mayor of Anaheim, Ashley Aitken, was in attendance throughout and presided over the proceedings from the center of the dais. The second was that instead of detailing the project's environmental review, the presentation was more of a general overview of what Disneyland Forward would entail, with just a few new pieces of information added to what we already knew about this initiative. That presentation was once again followed up by numerous public comments from local residents, business owners, union representatives, and other interested parties. So again, if you want to get that whole rundown, you can click through to to see what his coverage says.
Yeah, there's a lot there to talk about, and that's just the city part with Disney. I mean, that's not even discussing the possibilities that they could do with that land. As far as theming and all that.
And you're talking about, you know, the bridges over Harbor Boulevard. You know, I mean, I could see it would be kind of hard to do, but I could see eventually just wanting to separate vehicle traffic from pedestrian traffic entirely. But that would be extremely hard to pull off in terms of all the space you need to get people elevated and then get them down. And
it's been done.
And big, the businesses. And of course the businesses along there that rely on foot traffic, you know, want as many people on those sidewalks as they can get.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah, so. Where would the I was gonna make a joke, but all right, so moving on that, let's see, where's the next thing here?
Oh, it's
I see, yeah. Okay, this next one is brought to you from the OC Register. It's Earl of Sandwich Rooftop Bar coming to Downtown Disney. The fan favorite Earl of Sandwich shop that has bounced around Downtown Disney will boast a rooftop bar with a sit-down restaurant when the quick service eatery finally lands in its permanent new home at the outdoor shopping mall next to Disneyland. The ground floor counter service restaurant will have a grab-and-go sandwiches and salads familiar to fans, while the upstairs gastropub will offer table service similar to the Earl of Sandwich Tavern at the restaurant's current location in the former La Brea Bakery. Earl of Sandwich will be on the move again soon when a temporary pop-up trailer opens next to Star Wars Trading Post, so the La Brea Bakery can be torn down to make way or a parking structure. No. For new Porto's Bakery.
A parking structure would be sweet there. Imagine what Valley they would charge.
Valley parking.
Well, imagine what they would charge for that. I mean, wow.
Yeah. So they have moved around so much. They've been very patient with all this. I don't know how patient, but they've had to deal with, this.
I don't think they're going to stop until they've been in every space in now replacing World of Disney. It's, you know, but you know, there's been just so much work, over the years at Downtown Disney has always been in a state of becoming. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll never be completed as long as there's imagination. Never mind. But
who's left out of the original? At least, you know, besides Disney World of Disney, I can't. Oh, yeah. Maybe Naples. I don't remember. I think Naples might have been there. The Italian place.
Was Ralph Brennan's original? I mean, they've renovated it. It's got a completely different look now.
It was, yeah. You're right.
But it's been completely changed in how it looks. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. yeah.
Interesting.
We'll see. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we'll see what happens. I know that that's good that they're just not going to have a location. That they will still have this temporary spot, and I'm sure they're going to try to hurry along to get them into. They didn't say in the article timeline, but I'm assuming by the end of this year they're going to try to get them into a permanent spot, I would think.
Yeah.
But it looks like this the coverage on this story is all over the place. We got a Laughing Place. We have an article there titled "The Two-Story Permanent Earl Sandwich Location Coming to the West End of Downtown Disney." We have Disney's Parks blogs brought it to us. Parkside Market, First Look, Earl Sandwich News, and more coming to Downtown Disney District. So, yeah, you can see all this over there on our website, as always. sweetspot.com. Anything you'd like to add to that, Ken?
Nope. But I think I'm looking forward to hearing about the new, we found out what's, you know, a new restaurant coming down there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There's the, find out more about, how do you say that?
Tiendita. Depends on what language, I guess.
The new restaurant coming downtown Disney. So it's like it's the fast casual Mexican restaurant with the menu helmed by Chef Carlos Gaitan.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the accent works on that one, but.
You gotta have a restaurant people can pronounce. the so it's called
Tiendita, I guess.
We'll join Paseo and Centrico, two other eateries with menus created by Guillotine inside the Downtown Disney District.
Yeah.
We've already lost our listeners. Amy,
we should bring in someone to pronounce these things who knows how to do it. Just have them pronounce those words. That's it.
Siri, how do you? All right, aiming to be a more casual affair compared to Paseo and Centrico, T will offer our guests an expedited dining choice, said Frank Marino, vice president of operations at Patina Restaurant Group. In an emailed statement, Patina Restaurant Group owns and operates restaurants at Walt Disney World and Epcot Center, as well as nearby eateries like Naples, E-Bar in Downtown Disney, and Leatherby's Cafe Rogue at Segerstrom Centers for the Arts.
The Segerstrom Center for the Arts? Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So,
do they have any roller coasters at the Seagrass? Never mind.
I don't know. So, they're going to have a couple Mexican style restaurants there, right? They're going to have like.
Well, as well as they should.
Right. It's very popular. I
mean, there should be multiple for sure.
I liked Tortilla Joe's, but I understand things must change. But
yeah. I mean, I like a wide variety of quote-unquote Mexican food, and to me you can never have enough, so
right.
Yeah.
Also the same story, Mice Chat talks about it in their article from January 22nd. You can read all about that there.
So lots of Downtown Disney coverage.
Yeah. It's good.
All right, so well, it is February. And you know what February means. It's Groundhog Day. It's time for the Groundhog Day parade. And all,
no. President's Day, too.
Yes. Well, from the Orange County Register, another Brady McDonald story. Disneyland kicks off Black History Month with food and music festival, a gospel tradition featuring Southern California choirs that goes back more than a decade at Disneyland, returns in February as the Anaheim theme park celebrates Black History Month with a music and food festival. The Celebrate Soulfully event, honoring Black culture with authentic food and music, will run throughout February at Disneyland and the Disneyland Hotel. The annual Celebrate Gospel Musical tribute returns to the Fantasyland Theater on February 17th and 24th with a pair of headliner musicians and a host of Southern California community choirs. The February 17th show will be headlined by Marvin Sapp, and the February 24th show will feature Tasha Cobbs. Local musical groups will include the Sacred Groove a cappella vocalists and the Singers of Soul gospel choir. So those of you who, you know, listen to us soon after the episode comes out, maybe you can catch it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why it's always great to listen to us as soon as you can, so that you can get all this stuff before it happens. The Downtown Disney stage will feature music every night in February, ranging from gospel to soul to doo-wop. The February lineup of bands playing the Downtown Disney Live stage includes Singers of Soul, La La Brass, Del Atkins and The Life, Denian Soul Foundation, Doo-Wah Riders, Apollo Bebop, Forward Motion, and The Honey Drops. So those of you who've been waiting for that, there you go. There's also food at various restaurants in the park that are geared towards this, including a Cafe Orleans. They have some stuff at Riverbell Terrace, the Troubadour Tavern, and at Disneyland Hotel too, including the Lobby Lounge there. So there's various dishes to check out. So keep your eyes open when you go. Look around for these things, and you can enjoy the atmosphere and the food.
Sounds fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to our next story. This is from the OC Register. Disneyland installing automated turnstiles in $4.8 million entrance makeover. $8 million project that will overhaul the Disneyland and Disney California Adventure entrance pavilions with 62 new automated entry gates will be completed in phases to limit the impact of construction. Work to remove and replace the turnstiles at Disneyland and Disney California Adventure entrances will begin later in the year, according to Disneyland officials. The project is expected to start at Disney California Adventure before moving across the Esplanade to Disneyland's main entrance, according to MiceChat. Disneyland will remove the existing turnstiles and install 38 new automatic entry gates, according to Anaheim Building Reports. Disney California Adventure will install 24 automatic entry gates after removing existing entrance turnstiles, according to the building reports. Both entrance makeovers will also add fixed manual gates, removable railings, and overhead shrouds. The new entry update will make the gates stroller and handicap accessible, according to News Nation reporter Scott Gustin.
Huh.
Interesting.
Who wants to bet they're going to auction off some of the old stuff?
Oh, for sure.
This was a part of the Disneyland entrance.
But yeah. they've been they're not original or anything.
No, the entrance has been rebuilt multiple times, actually.
I've heard a few people complain. They don't appreciate history. But I think that this will be nice because I think this will be something else to go along. You know, Magic Bands, they're trying to really use those, and you can use those to enter Disneyland, but I think that this will make it easier because then you can just kind of scan in. As it says here in the article, because Walt Disney World uses a fingerprint scanner rather right. than photos to link tickets.
Well, I'm all for accessibility and for the strollers and wheelchairs.
Yeah.
You know, my wife does use a wheelchair or she uses a scooter depending on situation. Don't have any kids in strollers currently, but maybe someday I'll have grandchildren in strollers. But in just in general, I mean, never mind me, just, you know, it's more accessible for people and, you know, you want things to, with technology changing, you know, you want, the gates have to be, they have to be able to use technology well. And, so, you know, every so often that needs to be rebuilt. It's, you go back and look at old pictures, the entrance used to be very different, you know.
Maybe they'll have a special entrance for magic key holders or something like that too.
Yeah, they'll have a single visitor entrance. Yeah. They'll have a DVC entrance.
Uh-huh.
They'll have a lightning lane.
Disney Visa card holder entrance. Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we have, Ken?
All right. Well, let's see. As usual, we have Disneyland updates from Mice Chat. So there was one from January 22nd from Andy Castro. Mm-hmm. New gates, dragons, and haunted mansion closed. So, it says, well, I'll do the intro here. It says, welcome back to Dateline Disneyland. We're back this week with a huge Disneyland update for you after taking last week off to give you a preview of what's new and what's next at Disneyland in 2024. In the last couple of weeks, a lot has been going on at Disneyland, from big new changes at the Haunted Mansion to Lunar New Year prep at DCA, and preparing for the opening of Pixar Place Hotel, of course, which we covered earlier, plus a ton of ongoing construction at Tiana's Bayou Adventure, a slew of winter refurbishments in both parks, a new way to enter the parks in development, and new developments in Downtown Disney. We're not kidding. We've got a giant update for you today, so let's get started. And, of course, if you go check it out, I mean, it's loaded with photographs, so... the pictures there are, you know, plentiful and big, and you can get a good look at everything. And then there was the other update that came out was from Susan Lee, and that was on January 29th. Haunted Mansion shocker, new celebrations, and massive construction. And as her intro says there, Disneyland has returned to its natural state without any holiday decorations on Main Street or the castle. The Christmas trees in Downtown Disney weren't removed until last week, and the last of the Disney 100 Platinum items disappeared over the weekend. It's a nice change of pace. Traditionally, the off-season means shorter park hours, less entertainment, and a slew of refurbishments. But a new month is upon us, and there will be two celebrations going on in the parks. Well, of course, she's referring to Black History Month and Lunar New Year. Mm-hmm. Get ready to discover new foods, groove to live music, and welcome back magical friends to Main Street. It's time to come out of hibernation. Join us as we take a look at what's new and what's news at the Disneyland Resort. So,
did you see those photos of the trees, the Haunted Mansion queue area?
Yeah, they have that in there. They said, Haunted Mansion Spooky Deforestation is how they titled it. They said, are these walls actually stretching or is it your imagination? Mm-hmm. walls for as far as the eye can see have gone up between Tiana's Palace and the Haunted Mansion exit, as the grounds around one of Disney's most iconic attractions are reimagined. And then it says further down, instead of raising the dead, the area between the attraction and Tiana's palace has been raised, while many of the old trees have been chopped down. A few of the historic Magnolia Park trees remain on the side closest to the main walkway. Most of the items that adorn the mansion have been removed, but the hearse still stands at the ready. And of course, you know, what else, what did we see? We saw the, you know, when you would be waiting there, in the part of the switchbacks, kind of closest to the train station, and you would look over, and there would be the, there's that wall of graves, you know, and it would say like MT tomb and all that.
Right.
That got torn out. I mean, people were, people online, you know, on social media were just, what, you know, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe they got torn out. I mean, I'm sure they're going to do something similar.
Yeah, it's just kind of shocking.
When all is said and done, I'm sure they'll have like some of the same stuff. It's just going to be a different location, but
yeah. You know, we always, I mean, I was, when I saw it, I went, oh, what are they doing? You know, but you know, we'll see what it looks like when they're done. But
I mean, well, I always hate to see mature trees taken down, but the trees over there, I mean, that was, you know, I mean, you're, it takes time unless you're bringing in, you know, similar, not they wouldn't be as mature, but if you're, unless you're bringing in mature trees that you, you're from somewhere else, you know, some, maybe something that you, you bought from somewhere to provide shade, it's going to be a lot more open over there as far as the the shade just goes.
You know, it was a nice place to sit and relax. It seems like these, those kind of places are going away more at Disneyland, you know, like kind of off the beaten path.
You're taking
a little
the park out, you're taking the park out of theme park, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, we used to sit over there kind of closer to the train station, but in between the train station and the mansion, like right, and there were some benches. It was really quiet right over in that way, especially at night when the queue wasn't as long.
Yeah,
where it wouldn't extend out around the fountain, and you know that area is not going to be, that's going to be part of the queue, and it's just, I don't know, I just feel like a lot of areas are being taken up, you know, that, and I know they have to do that, but
well, it's just like when we, when we visited most recently, it's just every square inch of the west side has been poured over and redone, and you have, and then you go over to Tomorrowland and there's just underused and vacant spaces that have been that way for quite a while. You know, it's just, the contrast is just amazing.
Yeah, I was trying to find a place where we could record, and every place I thought on the west side, I thought, well, there's not really any like places that are, you know, kind of hidden. So we ended up over there on the motorboat, the old motorboat cruise loading area, but
yeah,
people are like, motorboat cruise, but what the heck,
it's over, you're talking over 30 years ago, you know.
Yeah but yeah, Tomorrowland has plenty of those little like hideaway spots for now. Who would have known back then, right? When, you know, when we used to go there, and I say in its heyday, like in the 80s, you know, Tomorrowland is like the place you'd rush to, you know.
Yeah.
Go to the west side later in the day. We'll get over
rope
there.
Drop, or, you know, people would run right over. Yeah, everybody would pour over to that side. I'm sure there are people in the company that don't want you to find a place to sit down and just do nothing, because then you're not buying stuff. You know, they want you to buy a lightning lane.
We only have so much money
around the line. They want you to buy something in a store or a restaurant, and if you're sitting there on a bench, you're not doing that.
Yeah. Well,
but
if they take all your money to get into the park, then you don't have any money to spend in the park.
Well, I would argue that you do want those spots spots to just take it easy, because that gives somebody who wants those things an overall better experience, which means they're more likely to come back and they're more likely to tell their friends and family what a great time they had.
Yeah, positive experience. Yeah.
So it does it does make sense from a business standpoint to have those quiet spaces.
All right. Yeah. Well, what would Jim Corcus say? Remember he say, "Get off,
get off my lawn."
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we miss Jim so much.
All right.
Yeah.
So, moving on.
Do you have any refurb information?
Oh yeah, we do.
Okay.
So the Astro Orbiter has a return date, and it will be March 8th. You know, it's been dismantled.
Really?
Yeah, dismantled and painted, and they're putting it back together. So it will be back open. The Haunted Mansion, as you know, is closed now, and no return date. Closed indefinitely.
It's a classic, iconic Disneyland attraction. Closed indefinitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another one is the Mark Twain, but that has a return date of February 10th. So just a little over a week.
Give it some time before they bring back Fantasmic, right?
Yeah. Grizzly River Run will be back. It's down now, but it'll be back March 1st. Inside Out. This one goes down a lot. Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind back February 9th.
Well, it's temperamental, Lynn. You know.
Okay. Okay.
It's an emotional whirlwind, so it you know, it's gonna be down quite a bit.
I feel like I report on that quite often. The Radiator Springs Racers is down. Yes, one of the most popular attraction. Radiator Springs Racers down February 26th to March 2nd.
Huh.
So that's about a week.
Yeah, like. It's difficult because that is definitely one of the most popular in California Adventure, you know.
Well, speaking of probably the second, third most popular is maybe Incredicoaster will be down March 4th to March 15th.
Somebody that I follow on social media said one of my scariest, you know, or most apprehensive theme park scenarios happened. He was on the Incredicoaster when it went down.
Oh no.
You know, and he was like up on the lift or whatever.
Right.
And so he had to get out and walk down, and I mean, just I would be freaking out too, probably. I don't know. I mean,
they'd have to carry you down.
Well, I would, in my situation, it'd be like, well, how am I going to get my wife out of here? But
oh, true, yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe walking down wouldn't be as bad as riding, you know. But I just don't like the heights, you know. But
yeah,
I mean, attractions go down. So I've never, the times I've ridden in Incredicoaster, I've never had it go down. But
Yeah. Well, the last one we have is Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. That one goes down a lot too, but that one has changes to like with Halloween and all that.
Right.
That one will be down March 4th with no return date. That's all I have.
All right. Well, we do like to do these current event episodes every 2 weeks they come out. So they can keep you updated on what's happening at the Disneyland Resort. And then the other weeks, we release a main topic episode so that we can talk about something at the resort, either now or in history. And so we hope you make us your weekly habit. If you haven't subscribed to us, you know, subscribe, follow, bookmark, share, tell people where they can find us so that you can discuss with them what we've talked about. And we can grow the podcast that way. Let people know we're here. And what else, Lynn? What else do we want to say?
That's it. Just go to our website. We have t-shirt designs. We have show notes from our episodes. And any, you know, information on us. You can links to Patreon and whole bunch of things. So
leave a review about the podcast, especially on Apple or iTunes. You know, if you leave a review, Lynn will usually read those at the end of the main topic episodes. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the, I mean, don't, when we conclude a main topic episode, we've always got more to say at the very end. So always listen all the way through.
Sounds good, Ken. Talk to you guys next time.